tonight was the final SmackDown before SummerSlam tomorrow night, and we have new tag team champions. We had a title change on tonight's show. We had two championship matches, actually. But the least surprising thing coming out of tonight is that the Bloodline has gold going into the main event tomorrow when Solo Sikoa will attempt to bring gold into the group, the gold that Roman Reigns lost at WrestleMania. And it is worth pointing out that Jacob Fatu has been in this company on television for 6 weeks. 6 weeks ago in Madison Square Garden. Remember when he was there? Actually, it might have been the week before MSG, but 6 weeks ago he debuted. He already has his first championship. That did not take very long, now did it? He is already a champion in WWE. And so ends the one-month transitional reign of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. I know a lot of people are going to be very upset about this. As Jerome said in one of the super chats that he sent it a little while ago, so ends the legendary run of DIY. If you want to know what a transitional title run looks like, you just saw one. You just saw one play out right before your very eyes over these last 4 weeks. That's what you got in DIY. And I get why they did it. You know, they wanted to keep Solo Sikoa strong. They wanted to keep the Bloodline dominant going into the main event of SummerSlam tomorrow night, his big match with Cody Rhodes, which now has a stipulation attached to it. So they wanted to make this match a little more interesting because, in all honesty, this match needed something to make it a little bit more interesting. So what they did here, 24 hours before the main event of SummerSlam, they have added a brand new stipulation. Cody Rhodes will defend the WWE title against Solo Sikoa in what is now going to be a Bloodline rules match. So we are effectively going to get a rematch from WrestleMania 40, which was the last time that we had a Bloodline rules match, which turned out to be a lot of fun. Now we're getting another one tomorrow night, and that means that anything goes, anybody can interfere at will, it's all legal. So you'll have Jacob Fatu, you'll have Tama Tonga, you'll have Tongaloa. But who else will you have? Who else will be showing up at SummerSlam tomorrow night? There actually are quite a few options. But the one name that everybody is going to be looking for, they were already going to look for him anyway, and were expecting him, is Roman Reigns. Everything has been building to this moment. The return of Roman Reigns, the fans chanted every single week. They chanted it at the beginning of the show tonight. We want Roman. We want Roman. Well, you're going to get Roman. You're going to get Roman in about 24 hours. I would be shocked if it goes any other way. But the Bloodline stands tall tonight, and Tiffany Stratton has her own custom pink briefcase. I'm going to talk about that and show it to you. And how much it's going to set you back if you want to get your own. This is your WWE SmackDown review for Friday night, August 2nd, 2024. I am the Solemn Monster. Yes, it is the beginning of August here, the first stream for the month of August here on this channel. Let's get into this show here because this was the final stop before SummerSlam, as I mentioned, and it kicked off with the WWE Champion, Cody Rhodes, on his way to the ring for a promo. Came into the ring. Of course, Cody got a great reaction. They were in Cleveland tonight, which is where SummerSlam will be tomorrow, although they'll be in the stadium where the Cleveland Browns play. So they love Cody. And Cody said, usually he starts these promos out and talks about how, what do you want to talk about? Said, it's not about what I want to talk about. It was about who I want to talk to. And he said, Solo Sikoa. Solo came to the ring all by himself. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this and throw up an image here. In the crowd, visible on camera, on the hard camera, right behind Solo Sikoa as he was speaking, was this sign here, Timu Bloodline, which I laughed more at than I thought I would, actually, when I first saw it. But it's kind of true. It is kind of true. We have the Timu version of the Bloodline these last couple of months on TV. This is why we need Roman Reigns back. as soon as possible. So Solo interrupted Cody as he was speaking. Cody was getting all full of himself. He was talking about, he mentioned the word ballyhoo. Look, you're a babyface. Don't start throwing around words like ballyhoo in your promo, okay? He was getting a little full of himself here. So Solo interrupted him, and rightfully so. Asked him if he was done speaking. He said Cody was wasting his time. Cody said he wasn't done, though. And he said Solo was the self-proclaimed tribal chief while he was the actual WWE champion. He paid respect to Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, his fallen comrades, and said that if he loses at SummerSlam, he cannot repay his debt to them. He said that he intends to do so, and intends to do to Solo what he did to Roman Reigns when he beat him in a Bloodline Rules match at WrestleMania. Solo said Cody keeps bringing up that match, and I thought to myself, does he though? I mean, is Cody coming out on TV every week and mentioning this? When was the last time he mentioned this? Solo said he beat a tribal chief that was weak. He said that he is not weak. He's dangerous. And he's going to show Cody at SummerSlam just how dangerous he is. He told Cody to put his money where his mouth is and make this match tomorrow night a Bloodline Rules match like the one he had at WrestleMania. Now, as he was saying this, nobody was really paying attention because the camera cut to show Jacob Fatu making his way through the crowd. And then in another part of the arena, we saw Tama Tonga coming through the crowd. And then on the opposite side, on the hard camera side, they cut to show Tonga Loa, still with his eye patch on. He was making his way down to ringside. And so they all surrounded the ring. Cody told each of them that he's not afraid of them. He called Jacob Fatu, though he singled him out and called him a dumb son of a bitch. And then Cody accepted Solo's offer. Said, you want Bloodline Rules tomorrow night? You got it. I accept. Solo said the tag team titles would be coming back to the Bloodline tonight, and then the WWE title would be returning to the Bloodline tomorrow at SummerSlam. Cody said he doesn't have to fight the family. He has to defeat the tribal chief. And since the tribal chief is not here, I'll settle for the wannabe. Solo is not a top-tier guy on the microphone. I thought he was fine here. But it's not like he's a promo guy. You know, he's not a very engaging person when it comes to these types of segments. Cody was his usual self. There was nothing great. There was nothing terrible about it. He was just sort of going through the motions on the microphone as he normally would. And Solo was okay. Bloodline Rules, though, adding this stipulation, it's 24 hours before the show. This is the main event of SummerSlam, traditionally the second biggest show of the year. Now, 24 hours before, they add a stip to the match. And I wonder if this was the plan all along, because earlier in the week, there were rumors going around that Triple H was making some changes to the card. Very vague, don't really know what that meant. If that meant adding matches to the show, which obviously he didn't. They still have their seven matches. I'm gonna assume this was the plan all along, was to get to this point right before the show, make it Bloodline Rules. But it makes the match a lot more interesting than it was before. So I'm in favor of it. I like the addition of the stipulation. I loved the Bloodline Rules match at WrestleMania this year. It was one of my favorite main events that I've seen at a WrestleMania ever. Certainly in a very long time. And so I can't sit here and hate on the fact that they're going to go with that stipulation again, even though I will say it does feel like a rerun of what we got at WrestleMania, right? We get Cody in the ring in a title match against the supposed tribal chief. Bloodline Rules all but guarantees that it's going to be interference and it's just going to be, you know, all kinds of shenanigans going on, and not just from the Bloodline. Not just from the Bloodline. There were reports and rumors going around all day long about Jimmy Uso. For whatever reason, people had convinced themselves that Jimmy Uso was coming back on SmackDown tonight. I don't know why. I don't know where this came from. I don't know what made them think that it would happen on the go-home episode of SmackDown instead of waiting until SummerSlam, because, you know, you can have more than one person come back at SummerSlam. So people had themselves convinced that we might get Jimmy tonight. We did not get Jimmy. Jimmy was not there. But I would expect him tomorrow night. I would expect Jimmy Uso. I would not discount the possibility of getting Jey Uso involved in this as well. And not even because of Jimmy, but we've got Cody Rhodes defending the WWE title. Jey Uso came out during Cody's match with Roman Reigns to fight off his brother. Jey Uso is a former tag team champion with Cody Rhodes. Cody is his boy. So if Cody's friends have been taken out, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, they too, by the way, could very well make an appearance tomorrow night. But especially if they don't, and Cody is outmanned and outgunned, and he's got no help, and he's outnumbered 4-on-1, even if Jimmy comes back, that's not enough. There's got to be more than that. Which is why we might get Kevin Owens and Randy Orton back, or we can get Jey Uso to come out to give Cody the assist. I've been, you know, trying to figure out for the longest time, how do they go about getting Jey Uso back involved in this story? Because if we are to assume that we are going to get a Bloodline Civil War, and Survivor Series was officially announced this week for Vancouver on November 30th, it will be another War Games show. So War Games now is going to be the annual thing at Survivor Series. There was some talk that maybe it wouldn't be every year, but clearly it's going to be every year. And this year it makes sense. Because, again, you have the Bloodline Civil War stuff that can play itself out. So how are they going to get Jey back involved in this story? Well, here's one way to do it. He sees Cody, his friend in need. It's not like Jey has a match on the show. So we may see Jey, we may see Jimmy come back, Paul Heyman may show up, and then, of course, the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. At this point, you know, if Roman Reigns did not show up, even at the very, very end of the show, it would be a big story. Because everybody is waiting and assuming that Roman is going to come out and that music is going to hit, and that stadium in Cleveland is going to explode. We have not seen him since WrestleMania. He has not done anything to become a babyface, but the people have been dying to see him come back because the people don't want to see Solo Sikoa playing basically a Wish version of Roman Reigns. They don't want the sequel. They want the original. They want the real deal. And so all roads are leading to a Roman Reigns return tomorrow night. Question is, when does it happen? Because I had assumed that, well, it would happen when the match is over. Better to have it happen after Cody wins and have him come out at the end of the show. And then he can have a face-to-face confrontation with Solo Sikoa. Now that it's Bloodline rules and anything goes, that makes it more likely, I think, that we see Roman come out during the match. I don't really want to see Roman help Cody. I don't think it would be a matter of him helping Cody. You know, his issue would be with Solo, who has taken over. He has usurped his power. He's been saying on television, Roman's not coming back. Roman was weak. That's why Roman lost. He's never coming back, right? Which was news to Paul Heyman when he dropped that little nugget on him all those weeks ago. When he comes back, his issue is with Solo. It's not that he's coming back to help Cody. As long as they do it in a way that does not make Cody Rhodes look weak, then I think it's fine. But again, you go into a stipulation like this expecting a lot of interference and expecting all that stuff. But it was fun at WrestleMania. And if they tell that story the right way and it plays out the right way and they build, like, oh, there's Jimmy. Jimmy is back, right? Oh, here comes Jey. And then you save Roman for the end. Again, you're going to get just a monster reaction. And you can close out SummerSlam with a major, with a major cliffhanger heading into SmackDown next Friday. So I like it. I'm looking forward to the match more now than I was coming into the show tonight. And on a go-home show like this, that's really all you can ask for. Are you more interested and excited to see Cody Rhodes against Solo Sikoa now than you were 2 hours ago or 3 hours ago? For me, the answer is yes. We had a rematch from 2 weeks ago with Andrade and Carmelo Hayes. Andrade won the first match. This was match number two. And their first match surprised me. It surprised me because the crowd, it was so well received. And you have two guys here in Andrade and Carmelo Hayes who really have not been that established yet on SmackDown, you know, since they were drafted over. They have not been present on the show every single week. You know, they don't get as much airtime as the Bloodline stuff and some of the other things on the show. So I was surprised how well received that match was a couple weeks ago. This match was not as good as their first one, but it was still a good match. It went through two commercial breaks, so it got some time. Towards the end, Andrade did the double moonsault spot that he does, which got him a great near fall. Andrade worked a figure four until Carmelo got to the ropes for a break. Hayes came back with a pair of super kicks and tried for a roll-up, but Andrade countered with one of his own, and he got the flash pin to go up two straight over Hayes. I came into this match expecting 50-50 booking and figuring that Carmelo Hayes would get his win back, and I was pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised that they did not do that, because that would be the predictable way to do it. That's the way WWE always does it, and they did not do that here. They had Andrade go up 2-0. Now, as far as Carmelo Hayes is concerned, you could look at that and go, well, what a terrible thing. He just lost two straight. That's it. He's a loser. No point in continuing this. I didn't get the sense that this is over. I guarantee you this is not over. This is going to continue. And we're probably going to end up with a series of matches. I don't know how many, but we're going to end up with a series of matches, I think, between them. I would hope, because Carmelo Hayes needs to win the next one. So I would certainly hope we get at least four matches out of it between these two. But the thing is, it gives the two of them something to do on the show. You know, it's just one of these mid-card programs. There's nothing wrong with it. And it gets them a spot consistently on the show every week, which we know that's Paul Levesque's thing. That's what Chad Gable said after he re-signed. He did a podcast interview and he said, you know, the conversations he's had with Triple H, his goal is to get people consistent time on TV. That means every single week or every other week. If you don't do that, you don't get over. The only way you are going to get over is if you are featured consistently on the show. And I don't know how, you know, I don't know what Andrade's ceiling is, honestly. Carmelo Hayes, I think, you know, has a much higher ceiling than Andrade does at this point. But I don't have an issue with it. And again, 50-50 booking, sometimes it's fine. A lot of times, though, it's just very formulaic. What do you really gain out of it? Well, right now, Andrade's up 2-0. Hayes has to come back and prove himself. We had Apollo Crews with Baron Corbin in his corner against Santos Escobar with Legado del Fantasma in his. This only went about 3 minutes. Wasn't really much of a match. Corbin took out Angel on the outside. Inside, Crews hit his standing moonsault for a two count. Then he knocked Humberto off the apron when he got up on the apron. And then Crews headed up to the top rope when someone on the outside of the ring reached out from under the ring and grabbed a hold of Baron Corbin's leg. And they didn't really focus on it. It ended up being Angel, who I guess after he got knocked down, he snuck under the ring, came out on the other side in front of the announcers. And so it was him. I thought maybe it was some new member of Legado that was debuting, either that or Hornswoggle. I don't know, but it was Angel. He came out. They were beating up on Corbin on the outside. That distraction was enough for Escobar to hit the Phantom Driver on Apollo and pin him. Like the Andrade and Hayes feud, you know, it gives these guys something to do on TV. It's just not anything that I find interesting. You know, it's like the Final Testament and the New Day stuff on Raw. Nothing wrong with them giving those guys airtime and trying to come up with some kind of a feud for them to be involved in. It gives them something to do. That, though, on Raw, is an example of something that's been playing out now for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I am no more interested in seeing it now than I was when it first started. You know, at first it was a little intriguing because I was wondering if they really were going to even tease a serious breakup between Kofi and Woods. And they're still kind of teasing, you know, that Cross is trying to, you know, forge a rift between them and I mean, it's just been dragging out for just so long and nothing seems to be happening. Here, this hasn't been dragging out for as long as that. It's just not something that I'm interested in. I don't know if they'll be able to rope me in or not. And it has not been explained. I would love for it to be explained to me why Corbin and Cruz are still together. Like, I understand they just were sort of put together. Why are they still a thing? I feel like we should hear from them. Like a sit-down interview or something. If this is going to be a thing going forward. Because I was looking at them tonight and Corbin's in his corner and I'm like, why? It just sort of hit me watching it. Like, why? How did these two become friends? They promoted a Logan Paul homecoming for the show tonight. We had SmackDown General Manager Nick Aldis in the ring. He was joined by three people that they described as Cleveland dignitaries. Didn't tell us who they were. They were nobodies. But then he introduced Logan Paul for his homecoming. Paul got into the ring. Said that he never met a guy so eager to take his belt off him. And then he said that Knight isn't his type. Oh, I don't know. I heard that he was. Or maybe I'm just guilty of spreading misinformation. Oops. Logan said that he's had two title defenses in 273 days, which is not something to be gloating about, by the way. This will be only his third title defense. He won the championship in November of last year. Not something I would be in the ring as, talking about it as if it's some kind of positive. Paul introduced the people that were standing in the ring. Nick Aldis interrupted and said that he entered the names of these supposed dignitaries into the Google machine, and he couldn't find anything about them. And Logan said, they're not from Cleveland. It's not anything you need to worry about. So then he said it was time to unveil his championship banner. They were going to unravel a giant banner here from the ceiling to remind the world that he is Cleveland's finest. So they unraveled the banner, but when they did, it was a photo of Logan with the word, yeah. It was the word, yeah, it defaced his face. So then LA Knight's music hit. He got the usual big reaction when he came out, as he does every single week. Knight said that Paul better get serious because it was 24 hours before SummerSlam and he was 24 hours away from losing his title. Knight called out Logan for being from Westlake, which is actually a suburb of Cleveland, not Cleveland proper. And Knight said, actually got another banner for you. I'm just going to go backstage and go get it, so just hang on. So LA Knight disappears to the back. And the camera follows him, and it shows him, walking through the hallway, and then he stumbles into Pretty Deadly, who just happened to be standing there. And he asked Pretty Deadly if they had a banner, and they said they didn't, but instead you could see they were preparing for their new musical, Pretty Deadly the Musical. And they offered to sing, so Knight quickly made his exit. He ended up finding the Prime truck that Logan Paul had arrived to the arena in earlier today. And he climbed inside. Logan, see, is watching all of this unfold on the screen. So he sees that LA Knight has found his truck and he freaks out. And he leaves the ring and he runs all the way to the back. And just as he gets there is when Knight, of course, pulls away in the truck. So we got a little bit of Grand Theft Auto here to close out this segment. This was very underwhelming. And I am assuming that tomorrow night, because we did not see this play out throughout the rest of the night. It's not like he came back or anything like that. We did see, I think Logan was complaining to Nick Aldis, but I'm assuming they did this because LA Knight is going to arrive for his entrance in the stadium tomorrow night in the Prime truck. I have to assume. I personally would have preferred a verbal jousting in the ring, one last verbal jousting in the ring between the two of them, because when I first was hoping that we would get this for WrestleMania this year, and then we didn't get it. The thing I was looking forward to even more than the eventual match were the promo battles between the two, because Logan Paul is, he's very good on the microphone, and LA Knight is very good on the microphone, especially with the one-liners, and I thought it could be fun to get them, like, really go in on each other and go back and forth, and we didn't get that here. We, frankly, have not gotten enough of it here in this feud. Here's the problem. The problem is LA Knight has, in my opinion, he has clearly been handcuffed in what he can say about Logan Paul. Think about the wealth of material that there is, even before this week, the wealth of material there is to go after Logan Paul, the things he's been involved in, the things he's been accused of. I mean, all these different things, right? The cryptos, all this stuff. And the little jabs that you could take at this guy and the things that you could bring up to insult him and embarrass him and throw it back at his face. And we have gotten none of that in these promos. So LA Knight is left to, you know, come up with other things that he can hit Logan Paul on, like tonight. Oh, you're from Westlake. You're not really here from Cleveland. And that might work because they're in Cleveland. So, of course, the people, you know, laugh at that. But there's just there's a wealth of material just sitting right there. And if LA Knight had free reign to really go after this guy as hard as he could, it would be a lot of fun. And we haven't gotten that. I'm sure Logan's ego, you know, wouldn't be able to handle that. And so we're getting kind of a handcuffed version of LA Knight when he's out there doing these promos. And it just makes it, you know, very disappointing. It didn't live up to what I think it could have been. But there was something else that I noticed when the segment was over. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't notice. A lot of people don't care, or it just, you know, flew over their heads. Of all the fucking people to be sitting in the front row, right behind the announcers, right in between, directly dead center in between Corey Graves and Wade Barrett, if you didn't notice, they got a good shot on camera, clear as day, of Rob Feinstein. I'm looking and I go, wait a minute. I'm like, is that who I think it is? And sure enough, that's who it was. I'm like, good Lord. Of all the people for them to show on TV, I'm not even sure if they realized that it was him sitting in between them. Good grief. We have Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. Our first of two championship matches on this show, because there are no tag team title matches at SummerSlam. We have three sets of tag team titles. We had two tag team title matches tonight. This was the first one. The challengers dominated early. Champions, though, were in control coming out of the commercial break. They were getting heat on Jade. This is usually the way it works. They'll get heat on Jade. She'll sell. She'll do a big power move. Like here, she was able to double suplex them. She makes the hot tag to Bianca. She comes in. She's a one-woman wrecking crew. Bianca had the pin. At one point, Isla Dawn, though, broke it up. Jade stumbled into the ring after the count was already broken up to fight with Isla. Isla threw her through the ropes out of the ring. Jade pulled her out. The two of them fought outside while Bianca hoisted up Alba on the inside for the KOD. However, on the outside, as this was happening, Blair Davenport shows up. And Davenport runs Jade into the ring post for the disqualification, the very lame disqualification. Alba and Isla, they tossed Jade over the announce desk. She took this hellacious bump, bounced, you know, up and over the announce desk, and her body, like, twisted. And then when she landed, she basically landed right on the back of her neck and got folded up. So that was a hell of a bump. And so Davenport celebrated with Alba and Isla to close out the segment. I was waiting for Naomi to come out here. I was waiting for her to make her way out, to make the save. She's had issues of late with Blair Davenport. In fact, that's the only thing we've seen Blair really do so far on SmackDown. Her interaction, mainly her interactions with Naomi. But there was no Naomi. She will. We'll see her, and we should end up with a six-woman tag very soon. I'm sure it'll be Bianca, Jade, and Naomi against the tag champions and Blair Davenport. Look, it was going to be one of two things. Either Bianca and Jade were just going to straight up win the belts back, or we were going to get some kind of a screwy finish. And the screwy finish is what we got. I don't mind it. Again, I wasn't shocked by it. Of course, it's lame the way it happened, but I wasn't surprised. And look, it brings Blair Davenport into the mix now in a way that she wasn't before. So I don't really have an issue with it, but I wasn't necessarily expecting a title change here anyway. Now in the back, we saw Tiffany Stratton, and she was looking very crestfallen. as she was holding her mangled, taped-up Money in the Bank briefcase in her hand. Now, I wonder, either was she standing there all night like that? Like, from the moment she got to the building, has she just been standing there for the last 8 hours, just staring down and pouting at her briefcase? This is how we found her. When Nia Jax walked in and presented her with her own custom pink briefcase. And boy, I mean, Tiffany, she lit up. She lit up. She had a huge smile on her face. That perked her right up. And Nia told Tiffany that if you try to cash in at SummerSlam, we would no longer be the princess and the queen. And Tiffany would have to answer to her. And Tiffany just wanted to take possession of the briefcase. She said, I'm not going to cash in on you. So, or she just said she won't cash in. I don't think she said on her. She just said she won't cash in. So she took the briefcase. As Nia left, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven showed up. Chelsea told Tiffany that she pushed her off the ladder very rudely at Money in the Bank and said that she would have been so much better than Tacky Time instead of Tiffy Time. Stratton told Chelsea that green just isn't her color. And she said, toodles. And she walked off. So let me show you, for those of you who may not have seen the show tonight, allow me to show you what WWE is now selling on WWEshop.com. It is already up for pre-order, and it can be yours for the low price of just $129.99, plus tax, of course, in most places. There it is, the Tiffy Time pink Money in the Bank briefcase. Now, I'm sure a lot of people could have expected that there would be a custom briefcase for Tiffany, although I'm surprised it took this long. But, you know, when I talked about it, it's like I told you in my SummerSlam predictions. And I said it on TNT on Tuesday night. If we get the pink briefcase this week, because when I did my predictions, I said I have two sets of predictions for this women's title match, and I'm going to go through the SummerSlam predictions one more time here in a little bit. But I said, if Tiffany gets a new custom pink, you know, bedazzled briefcase on SmackDown tonight, she is not cashing in tomorrow night because this company stands to make too much money off of this gimmick. They stand to make too much money off these briefcases with her carrying that thing around. Do you honestly believe that they went through the trouble of making this briefcase and it's only up for pre-order on WWE Shop? It is not even available yet. So I don't even know when this thing is actually going to start shipping out. You honestly think that they're going to take this off of her 24 hours later? They're going to want her on television walking around with this thing for months. I mean, that's the greatest advertisement they could ask for when she comes out with this every single week. That's why I said what I said. This is a company. It's all about how much money can they make off merch. They will take anything they can and they will sell it. They will stick a logo on it and they will sell it. They would stick a logo on their mothers and sell them. So as soon as I saw that briefcase, it's like I said last week, if they bust out that custom briefcase, it will be up on WWE Shop almost right away. And there's no way she's cashing in, at least not successfully. She may attempt to. She may tease it. I'm not saying she won't tease it or try to. But that, I think, should answer the question about whether or not Tiffany Stratton is cashing in her Money in the Bank tomorrow night. I would be stunned if they killed that gimmick off this weekend after what we saw tonight. The main event of this show. We're already up to the main event. It was Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, DIY, defending the WWE Tag Team titles against Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu, representing the Bloodline. Before the match, yeah, Bloodline made their entrance first, and Fatu's music is actually, I think, pretty badass. It's about time we got a theme song that isn't fucking garbage. So the Bloodline came out first. Then it was DIY, and the way they did this, they shot this, and this is what they do generally with the DIY entrances. It's kind of become their thing, where they'll be walking through the back, and the camera is kind of following them. They're cutting a promo as they're walking. So we see Tommaso Ciampa. And Ciampa is cutting a promo as he's walking. He stops when he comes upon Johnny Gargano, who is hanging out with his wife, Candice LeRae. and their son and their daughter, Indy Hartwell. Gargano then turns to join Ciampa as they are heading to the ring, and Gargano is talking about how it was in this very building. He was in this very building when SummerSlam was last here in 1996. And I thought to myself, that's right. That was when it was the Gund Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. That was the night that Mankind took on The Undertaker in the Boiler Room Brawl. And Gargano said from that moment on, he knew that he wanted to be a professional wrestler. So the two of them kept walking. They headed through Gorilla on their way to the ring. Ciampa and Tama Tonga started the match with Tonga getting the better of it. Tonga threw Ciampa into the ring post shoulder first. Ciampa fell out of the ring to the floor. The show went to its final commercial break. After the break, Gargano got a hot tag. He took out Fatu and Tonga. Big flurry of offense. Ciampa tagged in. He landed an air raid crash on Tama Tonga from the middle rope for a near fall. Fatu got in a blind tag and hit a hip attack on Ciampa in the corner. Then tagged Tama Tonga back in, who landed a top rope splash. Tonga covered. Gargano barely broke up the pin just in time. Outside the ring, Fatu ran at Gargano, who was propped up, up against the ring steps. Gargano moved. Fatu ran into the ring steps with a hip attack. Gargano tagged in. DIY hit a shatter machine. Now, Solo Sikoa was in their corner outside the ring. Solo gets up on the apron, hits a Samoan spike to Tommaso Ciampa as the referee was distracted. Tama Tonga tried to capitalize with a neck breaker on Gargano, and he covers him, and Johnny Gargano kicks out at the very last minute. That was a good near fall. That was a very convincing near fall, I will say. So Gargano comes back with a series of super kicks on everybody. Tama Tonga got taken out by a suicide dive from Gargano. Gargano then hit a poison rana on Jacob Fatu, but Fatu no-sold it and was staring a hole through Johnny. Got right back up, hit his pop-up Samoan drop, which is honestly a thing of beauty. And Johnny was in position, and Fatu hit his double jump moonsault off the top rope, but he wasn't done. He picked Johnny Gargano right back up, hit an implant DDT, and then he was finished. Then he pinned Gargano and got the 1-2-3 to win the tag team titles. The Bloodline posed with Solo Sikoa holding both tag team belts to close the show. Solo Sikoa here on this show doing his best Christian Cage impression. Christian Cage and the Patriarchy just won the Trios titles in AEW a couple weeks ago. Christian walking around with all three titles draped in gold. Solo Sikoa doing the same here at the end of the show. This was exactly what I expected it would be coming in. Maybe a little bit shorter than I would have liked for it to be, but I mean, the end result was preordained the moment the Bloodline won that gauntlet match on SmackDown last week. And really, once DIY won the titles, I mean, what did I say? What did I say a month ago when DIY won the tag team titles? As soon as they beat Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, I said they're just keeping him warm for the Bloodline. It's only a matter of time. I thought maybe at SummerSlam they would do the title change. And instead they did it the night before. But it played out exactly the way I figured it would. You know, DIY, they were the Iron Sheik of the tag team division without the Hawk Tua that he used to do. Not that Hawk Tua. But that, you know, they were transitional champions. That's what they were. That's all they were ever meant to be. I'm glad and I'm sad. I'm glad that DIY got to hold the titles, but I'm sad that they did not have a longer run with them, because it would have been nice to see. And no, I do not expect them to get the belts back anytime soon. If you're thinking, well, they'll get their rematch. I mean, they might get their rematch. They'll get their rematch and maybe they'll get the belts back. Somebody will interfere and cost the Bloodline. Hey, look, anything's possible. It's not what I expect. In fact, my guess is that when Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga lose those tag team titles, it's going to be to a reunited Jimmy and Jey Uso. Possibly not until WrestleMania next year. That's what I'm thinking. I think that they have played hot potato with the tag team titles enough for now. Like, it's okay to do that every now and then, but they played hot potato enough. And now it's time for the titles to find a stable home for a while. And I think in the Bloodline, they have now found that stable home. So this is a pretty standard go-home show on the whole. I mean, not all that different, honestly, from the last, I'd say, month or so of SmackDown episodes, which have just not been very good. But I enjoyed this episode more than a lot of those recent shows. I will tell you that. This was a better, more enjoyable SmackDown than we've had the past few weeks. Now, I'm going to run down the SummerSlam card here in a moment. I'm going to go through final predictions. Let me just go to the poll first, just to see what you guys thought of the show tonight. 71.6% thumbs up for SmackDown, 28.4% thumbs down. So again, you can vote at Solomonster on Twitter. Let me know what you thought of the show. Leave a comment as well. I always love hearing from you guys on there. What do we got going on in the show? Who do we have in the chat here? We have a lot of people here tonight, and we are currently sitting at 312 likes. That's unacceptable. We need at least 400. So go ahead. Go ahead and hit that thumbs up. Let's get into the SummerSlam card. SummerSlam is tomorrow night. And I am going to be live as soon as SummerSlam is over. Will Roman return to reclaim his throne? As soon as the event is over, you guys know you can come back here. I got you covered. SummerSlam is going to be the night where everybody is waiting to see basically who interferes. That's what SummerSlam is this year. Because if you look up and down this card, whether it's Tiffany Stratton in the WWE women's title match, whether it's one of Logan Paul's friends or his brother Jake Paul in his match, whether it's the Bloodline or, you know, Jimmy Uso, or, I mean, up and down this freaking card, Finn Balor in the world title match, you know, Rollins is the referee for you know, the Punk match. What's he going to do? This entire card is based on what are other people going to do or who is going to interfere and when in almost every single one of these matches. We'll start. This might honestly be the only match here. I'm looking at this card. This match might be the only one where we don't have anybody interfering. And it is the Intercontinental Championship match. Sami Zayn defends his title against Bron Breakker. This, believe it or not, is Sami Zayn's first ever SummerSlam match. I am not counting the one pre-show match he had many years ago. His first ever SummerSlam match. How long has this guy been in WWE? Going back to when he joined at the PC. When did he join the company? 2000. I mean, he hit the main roster. It was 2016, right? I believe. So, I mean, he's probably been with the company since at least 2012, 2013. First ever SummerSlam match. He defends against Braun. They had their match at Money in the Bank. It was a very good match. And Sammy retained the championship. It didn't feel like they were ready just yet to pull the trigger on Bron Breakker. Just didn't feel that way. This feels different. Now it feels like the time is now. The time is now for Sammy to lose and pass the torch and put over Bron Breakker. This will help launch him to that next level. The Intercontinental title has been a stepping stone for many men in the history of this company, and it could very well end up being that way for Bron Breakker as well. But in order for him to get there, because he's not there yet, he needs this run first. Even Goldberg, okay, before he got to the World Heavyweight title, had a run, a little bit of a run, with the U.S. title in WCW. So I think that's what this moment is going to be for Bron Breakker. I don't think Sami Zayn should win. I don't think he will. And I am picking Bron to win the championship. Now we have the WWE Women's Champion, Bayley, defending against Nia Jax, Queen of the Ring. Will she or won't she? When it comes to Tiffany Stratton, well, you saw the pink briefcase. You saw the briefcase. I'll show it to you one more time. They're not going to have her cash in. I just cannot believe they are going to have her cash in tomorrow night. However, I do believe that she will be present, probably in Nia's corner. And if not, she'll make her way out towards the end of the match. And I do think that Tiffany Stratton is going to tease a cash-in or attempt to cash-in, but it will not work. It will backfire. And in fact, I think it may end up distracting Nia, which leads to Nia losing and Bayley retaining her championship. This is the one that I am the most unsure of. If I had to pick one match on this card where I'm not as confident in my prediction as maybe everything else, it would be this. Because I could definitely see Nia Jax winning the title. In fact, if you asked me 2 months ago after she won Queen of the Ring, I would have picked Nia. You know, I would have picked Nia and said that they're going to set up for the Queen versus Queen when Charlotte Flair comes back in these next few months. But that doesn't need to be for the championship. You know, they could do Queen against Queen without the title involved. Nia could win, but I'm going to stick with my pick. I'm going to stick with Bayley on this. And we do not get a cash-in from Tiffany Stratton. We have Logan Paul defending the United States title against LA Knight. I very badly want LA Knight to win this championship. I want him to finally get that big moment. I want it to happen in front of a stadium with 50,000 people. And I just don't need to see Logan Paul with the U.S. title. If he's defending the championship three times in, 9 months, 10 months? It's fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Won the title in November, defended it at the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and now SummerSlam. Even mentioned it in his promo tonight, like he's proud of it, right? Which I guess as a heel, right, trying to get heel heat by saying it. But the time has come for him to drop this title. So again, it pains me to say, I'm still not convinced that he's losing this title. Logan Paul has lost his last two matches, Cody Rhodes, and he lost to LA Knight in a King of the Ring, Money in the Bank qualifier. He got pinned by LA Knight in a triple threat match. I just don't see it happening tomorrow night. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong about this prediction. But I got to stick with Logan Paul on this. It just feels like they're going to keep that fucking belt on him for a little while longer, at least until Berlin. So I'm picking Logan Paul to win. We have Liv Morgan defending the Women's World Championship against Rhea Ripley. Very easy to think that Rhea is just going to go in there and murder this girl. That's what they want you to think, right? That's what everybody is thinking. Although I think most people now probably look at this and they probably think, well, it can't possibly end here. I'm the same way. There's no way that this is going to end at SummerSlam. And there's no way that Rhea Ripley should win this match. Liv Morgan is going to retain the Women's World Championship, would be my prediction. Is Dominic Mysterio going to be involved? Almost assuredly, he'll be involved. I don't know if we are going to get the betrayal. And he's going to stab Rhea in the back. It's like a very direct betrayal. I think that if he is directly involved in the finish of this match, it's going to be a little more subtle. They're going to want to keep you guessing. He's going to do something that's going to backfire on Rhea. And we're going to be left to wonder, well, was that on purpose? Like, was he trying to help Rhea or was he trying to help Liv? And I think they're going to want to, kind of fuck with us for a little while longer. But I mentioned this on TNT Tuesday night, and I throw this out there because I think that there is a very good chance it could happen. There has been talk internally in WWE that Raquel Rodriguez could be on her way back. We have not seen Raquel since Elimination Chamber. And even before Elimination Chamber, she had been gone for a while. She was suffering from, and frankly, I don't even know if it's something that you ever really get over. This very weird illness, and I think it's called mast cell activation, where it just causes you to break out in like hives and blotches. It's like an allergic reaction, but you're not exposed to anything that would trigger an allergic reaction. It's like it's just your body is almost like attacking itself. And I don't think there's a cure for it, so she would have these flare-ups. She came back in Elimination Chamber and she was suffering from it, but they kind of, she had makeup. I think you could see it, but, they all wear makeup, so it kind of covers up some of it. But then she disappeared. We haven't seen her since. I hope she's doing better. I don't know that she's, going to be cured from it. but there's been talk about her possibly coming back. She has a history with both of these women. She has been best friends with Rhea back to their NXT days and rivals as well. She also was a former women's tag team champion with Liv Morgan. So what I think we could very well see here, everybody's talking about how Rhea's going to murder Liv, right? So I think Raquel coming back to be the new bodyguard for Liv Morgan is a very real possibility. And that could also be how Liv retains and now has somebody to watch her back who has history with Rhea Ripley and would want to get back at Rhea Ripley for what Rhea did to Liv. Because Liv and Raquel were former tag team partners. It actually makes a lot of sense. So I'm gonna predict that we get the Raquel Rodriguez return here. And not only Dominic, but she factors into things and helps Liv retain her championship. And then she gets to hold on to that title for a little while longer. Because you don't want to kill this off tomorrow night, right? I mean, this story is too good. Can't kill it off just yet. We know what the end result is. We know Rhea is going to get her revenge and win the title back. But it does not have to be at SummerSlam. So Liv Morgan is going to retain. We have Damian Priest defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Gunther, the King of the Ring winner. The same Gunther who at the SummerSlam kickoff event earlier today was talking to the fans outside and said that he would... I love this guy. Gunther told the crowd that he would rather be homeless than live in Cleveland. Is it really that bad in Cleveland? Apparently he thinks it is. Gunther's going to win the World Heavyweight Championship. It's either now or at the end of the month. I say it's going to be this weekend. He's going to be the World Heavyweight Champion. I think Finn Balor is going to play a role in this match. He's going to come out, even though Damian Priest has told Balor, I don't want your help. I don't want anybody's help. I got to go this alone. This guy is insulting me. He's insulting my heritage. He's calling me street trash every week, right? We've seen kind of a different side of Damian Priest recently. So Balor, though, had that match with Gunther on Raw Monday night. And he lost. And when the match was over, Gunther tried to put him in a sleeper hold for a second time. So I think it could be a case where, you know, Balor has unfinished business with Gunther. And he comes out and it ends up being one of those things where, again, Priest doesn't want him out there. And, you know, the distraction ends up with Damian Priest eating the loss and losing his championship because Balor gets involved. I do think we're going to see Balor involved. And we're going to have a new champion. But that was always the inevitability, wasn't it? That Gunther would end up with the World Heavyweight Championship? Because whether it's tomorrow night or Berlin, it's happening. He's either going in as the defending champion or he's winning the title there. I say he goes in as the defending champion, possibly in a triple threat match, defending on the 31st. In Germany against both Balor and Priest. So we'll see if I'm right. Then we have the real main event of the show. We have CM Punk making his in-ring return for the first time since the Royal Rumble. One-on-one with Drew McIntyre, and the special guest referee is going to be Seth Rollins. You all saw what Rollins was wearing on TV Monday night. I'm assuming that's the same referee shirt he's going to wear on the show tomorrow night. He looks like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld in his fucking puffy shirt. He's got his zebra print boots. He's ready to go, right? Anything but the Shawn Michaels biker shorts is fine. But now the added stipulation with Rollins as the guest referee, and he gave his instructions to both men on Monday night. He said, what I say goes. If I want to count to 10, I'll count to 10. If I want to count to a million when you guys are fighting on the outside, then that's what I'll do. Making it sound like it'll basically be no DQ, no count out. He's going to allow a lot of latitude here because he doesn't like either one of these guys. He doesn't care if they beat the hell out of each other. But we know that Rollins is going to be involved in this finish in some way. I do think we'll end up with some variation of that SummerSlam finish from 97 where Shawn Michaels accidentally hit Undertaker in the head with a chair. And that led to him losing the championship. I do wish there was some kind of incentive here for Rollins to take this gig in the first place, something maybe that Adam Pearce promised him. If he calls it right down the middle, he's got to be fair and impartial. You know, you'll get a world championship match if Gunther wins, right? Because we already had Damian Priest tell him that, I'll give you a shot after SummerSlam, right? That's not going to happen. But they didn't do that. I guess Rollins just doesn't like either one of these guys, and he figured it would be fun to fuck with them. So he decided to be the referee. But I do think that it will be a situation where there's an accidental bump, and it leads to CM Punk losing the match. I think Rollins maybe goes for Drew and ends up hitting Punk, which will certainly throw more gasoline on the fire between those two. We know those two have to have their match at some point. And Drew McIntyre is going to win this match. However it happens, Drew McIntyre is going to win this match. Drew McIntyre should win this match. He needs to win this match. CM Punk should not be winning this first match back. I'm very curious what Punk is going to look like in there in a full-blown singles match. This will be his first big singles match, or not. I wouldn't say his last televised singles match was big. Although the last time we saw him on WWE television in a singles match on TV was 10.5 years ago against Billy Gunn on Raw. It's been a very long time. Very long time. Punk physically looks like he's in the best shape I've seen him in maybe ever, right? He looks like he's in great shape. That's very different, though, when the bell rings than how he's going to look in the course of an actual singles match that's going to go, I'm sure, 15, 18, 20 minutes or more. We just have not seen Punk in a lot of matches like that, even in AEW. It's been a while, and he's coming off some pretty significant injuries. Can he stay healthy? I hope he can. I hope he does, because there's a lot of money matches left for him, whether it is with Seth Rollins, whether it is, I mean, look, Steve Austin was just doing an interview the other day, and he said, you know, WrestleMania 40, he wasn't there. I mean, they wanted him there. I'm sure they wanted him there. I'm sure if it wasn't Undertaker, it was going to be Steve Austin. But he said, I don't leave Nevada. He lives in Nevada now. He's out in the desert. He's got his dune buggy. He's living life. He's got his cats, Poncho and Macho. He's living the life. I don't leave Nevada. And he pointed out WrestleMania next year is coming to Nevada. So, oh, believe me, the rumors are going to start very soon about Punk and Austin at WrestleMania 41. There's a lot of big matches for CM Punk, but he's got to stay healthy. That's what I'll be watching for tomorrow night. What does he look like in the ring? Is he tentative? Is he slower? That's what I want to see. But he's going to lose. And then we have the WWE Championship match, the official main event. Cody Rhodes will be defending his title against Solo Sikoa. This will now be bloodline rules, which means that we're going to get a metric fuck ton of interference. So Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa. And then the question is, who else? That's where the question mark is, right? I am expecting that we are going to get Jimmy Uso back tomorrow night. I would also expect Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns to be on this show. I envision a scenario where Jey Uso gets involved. In fact, if there was one Cody ally that will hit the ring first in the course of all the mayhem that will be going on to try to save Cody, because Cody's his friend, it would be Jey Uso. I just find it hard to believe you're not going to have Jey present on the show in some way, you know, as big of a star as he is, he doesn't have a match, but I just feel like, how are you going to have this big show? I mean, this guy was in the main event of SummerSlam last year. Tribal Combat against Roman Reigns. Now he's not even on the show? So I think we'll see Jey Uso come out. And after that, when he's overwhelmed and the numbers are still too great, is where we hear, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and here comes Jimmy Uso. We haven't seen him since he got taken out by Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa. So we're going to get Jimmy. We're going to get the old bloodline members back tomorrow night. I think all of them, culminating with Roman Reigns. I don't know for sure if it will be during the match or after the match, but Roman will be there. Roman will be there. Solo Sikoa is not leaving Cleveland with the WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes is going to retain. I think he has to look strong. Don't make him look weak and feeble like he needs help to get the job done. He'll get the job done. We'll probably get a show-closing stare-down or face-off with Roman and Solo. Maybe Roman will even take him out with a spear. But that's how I envision SummerSlam ending. And maybe, you know what, after that, if he does take out Solo with a spear and the new bloodline retreats, you know, up the ramp or down the aisleway, maybe we actually end with a stare down between Roman and Cody, teasing the idea that we might get a rematch with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, even though we might not actually get the match. But that parting shot on you know, SummerSlam at the end of the show tomorrow night, I think it'll be one of those two, and then you leave with whatever the cliffhanger is. You want to leave in a way that gets people excited and gets them tuned into SmackDown next Friday. People are going to want to tune in to see Roman and see what he has to say. So once we get Roman Reigns back, we can move this story into the next phase. It'll make things more interesting. Just because Roman comes back still does not mean we're going to get him on the show every week. He's still on that sweet Roman Reigns schedule. We may only get him a handful of times for the rest of the year. But it'll be good to have him back, because SmackDown has suffered in part because he's not around, but the story is focused around him. And you have people who were chanting for him and waiting for him to come back. It just feels like SmackDown's been in a holding pattern, waiting for Roman Reigns to come back, waiting for this next like bloodline versus bloodline story. If in fact that's what it is, to play itself out. And you have a lot of people also waiting for Cody Rhodes, frankly, to feud with Randy Orton, which I do think is going to happen. I don't know that we see Randy tomorrow night, but I do think that's coming very soon. I think Cody and Randy is coming very soon. It's the best thing they could do with Cody. You know, while everybody is focused on Roman and the bloodline, how do you keep people focused and attentive to what the champion is doing? You put him in there with Randy Orton, because I think that's a program people have been waiting a long time for. Preferably heel Randy. I don't necessarily want to see babyface against babyface. You know, Randy Orton, we know Randy Orton can be a great heel, right? We already know that. To see that sinister side of him come back out and play off the history that they have together. Could be a lot of fun. That could be a bad blood match for the WWE title. But Cody Rhodes will still be your WWE champion. Roman will be back. All will be right with the world. And we can finally breathe some new life, hopefully, into this SmackDown show, which so desperately needs it. Those are your SummerSlam predictions. I'm looking forward to it. I will not call this the strongest SummerSlam card on paper, because it is not, but I am looking forward to SummerSlam, and I'm looking forward to All In as well, headed to Wembley Stadium in a few weeks. It's going to be a big month, so you're going to want to keep it locked in here on the channel. All right, let's take a look at your Super Chats. Let's talk about WWE. Let's talk about SummerSlam. See what's going on here. Start out with Emma. Hey, Emma, what's going on? Emma says, I would sell my house to watch Pretty Deadly the musical. Love you, Solo. Don't sell your house. Don't do that. That would be a very bad idea. Certainly not for Pretty Deadly the musical. I would not be doing that. Jerome Eugenio says, and so ends DIY's legendary title run. Yes. Very legendary. Big Show's Ladder says, I feel like what we are seeing with SmackDown now is less a product of Roman's absence and just how mishandled the draft was. SmackDown roster is small as is and has barely changed. I think Raw definitely got the better end of things. And certainly it felt that way with the women until Becky left and Rhea got hurt. Things kind of fell apart there a little bit. But no, that's a fair point. I mean, I do think that did hurt them at least a little bit. Devin from New Jersey, gold or silver in the spirit of the Olympics? Gold or silver? The head shrinkers or the head bangers? Head shrinkers. Tanya, thank you for the $1.99. The Juliet says, if Punk really wanted to troll Drew, he would come out to Broken Dreams as his entrance theme tomorrow. I don't think Drew would care, honestly, about a theme song. I think it would take more than that to get under his skin. Yukio Rules again, man. Thank you for the $51 super chat. Holy shit. Love the streams and thanks for everything that you do, Yukio. It's guys like you that make it all worth it. Thank you, brother. Alex with the 22, Brother Solo, if both Orton and Roman appear tomorrow in the main event, would you save Orton's eventual heel turn for next week's SmackDown or go all in tomorrow night with an RKO on Cody? No, I would not do the RKO tomorrow night, if for no other reason, because it's going to completely be overshadowed if Roman comes back. And it's too much. Why give all of that away on the same show in the same segment? It doesn't make any sense. If Roman is showing up and the story is focused on the bloodline, let it breathe, focus on that, save the RKO for next Friday. Rodimus Prime, though I am not surprised at all, it was pretty much obvious the bloodline was going to win. You think? You think? We've got Samuel. Prediction. Sammy and Jay win the Raw Tag Team belt suit. Solo orders the bloodline to unify like Roman did with the Usos. The faces win to get them on SmackDown for the bloodline war and off Balor for the Priest feud. I think that that is a very real possibility. That's actually not bad. Not bad. So the bloodline wants to unify the belts again. You know what? That's the best thing that could happen. They should never have been de-unified in the first place. I think merging the belts back and taking the design of the SmackDown belts is the way to go, because those SmackDown belts look fucking great. I mean, the Raw belts don't look like garbage or anything, but the SmackDown belts of the two are much, much better. The only reason I don't see that is, again, they just created them recently, those new Raw belts. And again, I always mention this, they're selling them on WWE Shop, and those belts make them a lot of money. So as new as they are, I don't see them unifying again this soon. But I would love to see them do it, because there's just no reason to have two sets of tag team belts with the tag division in the shape that it's in. Holiday says, hey Solo, what match would you suggest be the opening match at SummerSlam? It's a great question. Looking at this lineup here, if I had to say which match I would open with at SummerSlam, gosh, I would open with, I think exactly the way I went through the predictions, honestly, I would probably open with the Intercontinental title match. I would open big, because I'm expecting a title change there. That's probably what I would open with. Prince Vegeta. And then we'll get to JR. Last time I checked, that AJ Styles retirement angle was a setup. I didn't know it was legit. Because that dude has not been on WWE TV in 2 months. Well, I mean, to be fair, he did go to Japan and he wrestled Naomichi Marufuji. And he was actually on WWE's Japan tour last weekend, and he was wrestling was it Cody? Oh, no, I think he tagged with Cody. He might have tagged with Cody. I know he wrestled Nakamura on one of the nights. That's a fair point, though. It does feel like he actually did retire. JR Vacher says, gold, silver, or bronze? Head shrinkers, Usos, faces of fear, G.O.D. Best Samoan, Tongan, you know, Samoan and Tongan, they're not the same, right? They're two totally, like, different things. I will, boy. I'll give the gold to the Usos. They've certainly had the most success. I mean, I know G.O.D. won, you know, seven IWGP tag titles, but I would go Usos and then probably G.O.D. and then Head Shrinkers and then Faces of Fear would be left off of the Olympic podium. So I'm giving the gold to the Usos. El Masse with the $25 super chat. Britt Baker, Sammy Guevara, and Jack Perry should form a faction. Call them the Suspension Squad. They seem to be a bigger problem in AEW than the Elite faction. Thank you, El Masse, for the 25. Ricky Cornflakes, my prediction for SummerSlam is that the Hurricane comes out to screw Cody to help his Samoan super family. You want to bet? You want to play some money on that? Arabian Nights, SmackDown Tag Team Scene now on lock and key with the Bloodline. Where does DIY go from here, and who takes the belts from the Bloodline? Well, I already told you, I think we could be headed for a WrestleMania match against the reunited Usos, and the Usos win the tag belts from Fatu and Tama Tonga on that show. We've got Zaki. Not wishing any harm, but if Punk suffers another major setback or injury, do you think he should retire from being an in-ring performer? No. I'm going to say no, because as long as there is money to be made, if I'm him, and I mean, he's older, but he's still not that old where he has to retire. He's of that age where he needs to get out of the ring. If I were him, would certainly have to consider my options. There are other things that he can do. There are other ways he could contribute. He could be an on-air character. I would definitely have to take a look in the mirror, though, and see if maybe my body is trying to send me a message here. But if there's money to be made and he feels like, well, I can rehab and come back. I mean, that's what I would do. The kind of money that he can make by sticking around and working all these different people. You know what? If they want to keep paying me to just sit at home and rehab an injury and I'll try to come back again, then that's what you got to try to do. But I do think if something were to happen to him again, especially soon after he comes back, it's a sign that his body is trying to tell him something. And that's a decision that he would have to make. But that would be very shitty if that happened. Sean D says, my brain says that Cody retains. My heart says that they're going to put that belt on Solo tomorrow after a lot of interference, and then Roman comes out afterwards. I don't think so. I think you're wrong. Superman Bassfisher, will Roman and Zilla Fatu show up tomorrow at SummerSlam? I guarantee you Zilla Fatu is not showing up at SummerSlam. Okay, so forget that. That is not happening. Okay, trust me. Roman is showing up. Zilla is not. Alex says, bronze, silver, gold on which match you would want to see main event night 2 of WrestleMania 41. John Cena versus Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes against The Rock, or Roman Reigns against Jacob Fatu. I mean, if those matches happen, then it's got to be Cody Rhodes against The Rock. That's the only answer. The Juliet says, spoiler alert, Gallus's Wolfgang wrestled Joe Hendry at TNA's Orlando tapings. My boy Wolfgang, huh? I interviewed Wolfgang once on the podcast. I got complimented for how prepared I was in asking questions. That's always nice to hear. Raf says, Logan, 3 lawsuits and 2 title defenses since 2023. Yeah, it's time. It's time to get that belt away from me. Hisco 95. SummerSlam tomorrow is going to give Vince Russo vibes with all the interference. I just hope Cody and Drew win. Also, with how they have built this rivalry, there is a significant chance that Damian retains. I don't know if I'd say significant, but yes, there is, of course, there is a chance that Damian Priest could retain, because everybody probably thinks he's losing. So maybe they want to swerve us, but he's not getting out of this month with that championship. So even if he were to retain tomorrow night, he's on borrowed time. He's on very borrowed time. KC1324, do you think that there's any chance Sami Zayn comes out to aid Cody, since they hinted towards Sami rejoining the Bloodline? Thanks for everything. There's a chance. I don't know. Of all the people that would come out, though, to help, I mean, look, Sami's a friend of Cody's on TV, so if Jay would come out to help, it's possible Sami could come out, but much better chance that Jey Uso would come out to give Cody the assist. Kevin Dunn's Beaver says, isn't it nice when wrestlers compliment you and not block you? I've gotten a lot of compliments from wrestlers, and I've also gotten a lot of blocks. I just learned the other day that R-Truth has blocked me. Apparently, a lot of people have been blocked by R-Truth, but I was never on that list, and then I've noticed in the last week, all of a sudden, I ended up on the list. I have no idea why. Nor do I really care, but I just laughed at that. I said, really? So where'd that come from? Holiday 197 says, what would you recommend as the best approach to managing Jacob Fatu's career? Given that he is involved in the Bloodline, would you have him turn on Solo and Rock down the line? He could be a big player. I think as long as he is involved in this Bloodline story, his character will be given the care and consideration that he needs, and he's going to be fine. He'll be well looked after, he'll be well booked, and I think in the end he's going to be a huge babyface, because he will get over as a babyface whether they want him to be or not. It's just inevitable. So I think that's the ultimate kind of destination where he'll really break out. It will be as a singles babyface. As far as him turning on Solo, you know, there was a part of me thinking that maybe he was almost like a secret agent type thing, but I'm not thinking that anymore. So I don't think it's a case where, he's kind of like a mole on the inside of the new Bloodline. But I do think that at some point, maybe we get him turning on Solo. Maybe he feels Solo has grown weak. And he's kind of a wild card himself. And maybe Solo has to kind of go groveling back to the OGs. You know, we get the OG Bloodline against the new Bloodline. Remember, you know, Hikuleo is signed, and Hikuleo is going to be coming in the not too distant future. Solo could always be replaced. So I don't know if that's the way they're going to go with it. I just see him as being a huge babyface down the road. And when I say down the road, I mean a year from now, we could be talking about him as a huge babyface. Boney, with WWE letting unused or underused talent work indie shows a bit, do you think they'll ever send some to House of Glory? And if so, who would you want? Well, I don't want to give it away. You know, I don't want to tip my cap as far as who I would love to bring in. I don't see it happening. I don't. But if at any point it became a possibility, we would welcome it. We would welcome anybody who would have a desire to come work in HOG would be welcome. I don't want to give away any names. The Juliet, thank you for the $5 super chat. Do you think we get some sort of Chad Gable Creeds and Wyatt Six segment at some point, either during the 3-hour pre-show or on the main show? Maybe on the pre-show, not on the main show. J.R. Vacher says, I know Tongans and Samoans are different people. I'm just checking. There might be some people who think, you know, they're one and the same. I don't want to offend the Samoans or the Tongans. You know, you don't want to get on their bad side. Double S, thank you, brother. Yeah, you could check out some HOG stuff on the official YouTube channel. We got the full shows on Triller TV in the archives. Check it out. I think you might enjoy it. You might enjoy the commentary, too. I hear those guys are pretty good. Have R-Truth come to Hog. Yes, I would invite R-Truth to come to House of Glory and make amends, and maybe he'll unblock me. He's always invited to come on in. Juan Ocampo with the $4.99. How much drama does AEW need? And he says, how does an announcer of all people get to be in any locker room in any promotion? Haven't been on here lately. Well, it's good to have you back, Juan. Thank you for the super chat. So we are currently sitting, let's see what we're sitting at here. We are sitting at 459 likes. So you guys kicked it up a notch. I love it. I knew you'd pull through in the end. I knew it. Anna Jay is in Stardom's five-star Grand Prix. I did see that. I did see that Anna Jay was heading over to Stardom. I love it. I love all of these different promotions cross-pollinating and working together more so now than ever before. And even WWE is getting in on the game. You know, last weekend here in Brooklyn, there was the Josh Barnett Bloodsport show. And, I mean, look at all the WWE names that were on that show. Right? Julius Creed, Brutus Creed, Charlie Dempsey, Shayna Baszler. All right, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
I swear that wasn't intentional. Even though we have a picture of Logan Paul on the screen with that U.S. title that hopefully he will lose, but I'm not expecting him to. I jumped the gun on the buzzer. It is Be the Booker time, though. It is time to be the booker. All right, we begin with the Bang Bros. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. It was a short-lived team, but it was a good team. It was a good team. All right. So who are the Bang Bros going to be getting into the ring with? Who are they going to be banging tonight? Let's see. Who are they going to be banging? They're going to be banging Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. And wow, what a match. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus are going to be banging it with Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, and Bobby Heenan will be there at ringside to watch it all play out. That right there is tag team wrestling personified. Love that match. That's a great match. That's a great way to kick off Be the Booker. Women's Be the Booker. We begin with, well, look at this. How about this, okay? Mako Satomura. By the way, if you did not see it, Mako Satomura had a match with Bayley the other weekend, last weekend, in Japan for the WWE Women's Championship. I believe it took place on Sunday. They had this great 20-minute match. If you want to watch it, WWE put the match up on their Vault YouTube channel. The entire match. No commentary. It's a house show match from Japan last weekend. Go watch it. Bayley against Mako Satomura, who also has announced her retirement. I think it might be 30 years for her in wrestling next year. In 2025, she is going to be winding down her career. So we have John Cena and Mako Satomura are both retiring in 2025. Maybe they could wrestle each other. What do you think? Cena against Mako. How about that? All right, hold on a second here. Xavier, brother, I'm putting you in timeout. I saw you the first time, and that'll be the last time. All right, Mako Satomura. I was going to say, maybe we'll land on John Cena, but he's not in Women's Be the Booker. So it won't be him, but it will be Mako Satomura taking on Mina Shirakawa. I'm guessing that match has never taken place, but that would be great. Mako and Mina. I'd love to watch that. Now we get to Men's Be the Booker. Main event time. Hey, we're 2 for 2 so far. We're on a roll here. We begin with Psycho Sid, the former WWE and WCW world champion. You know what? I'm a Sid guy. It was just something about Sid. I'm a fan of Sid's. I wish they would put him in the Hall of Fame. I think it could be a very entertaining speech. Probably a lot of blinking going on, right, in the speech. Psycho Sid. Stepping into the ring with who will it be? Psycho Sid gonna go one-on-one with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And that, my friends, is a clean sweep. We have gone 3 for 3 tonight here in Be the Booker. That's the way it should always be. We should always nail it 3 for 3. That's a good night right there. That is a good night. Love it. The learning sicko, Dr. Bropio, says Fox blackout strikes again. Yeah, it's like the two buttons are right next to each other, and I just sometimes, hit the wrong button. It takes me to a completely different scene that I don't intend to bring up. Jeremy Thunderstrikes. Would you rather watch Bret Hart against Okada or Kurt Angle against Ilya Dragunov? You get to watch one match and permanently miss the other one forever. Bret Hart against Okada is my jam. So you guys can have Angle and Dragunov. Enjoy it. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. I'm taking the Hitman and the Rainmaker. And Devin from New Jersey. If Solo can move to any state, what would it be? Hawaii. I've never been. I'd move to Hawaii. And we get far away from here. Hey, Art King. Thank you for the super chat. Uffman has been a channel member for 40 months. 40. 40. Oh, is that where the $40 super chat comes from? I see. I get it now. Now I get it. All right, well, tomorrow night, as I said before, I'm going to be live after SummerSlam for the full review. We'll talk about the entire card from top to bottom. So come on back here for that. And, of course, episode 873 of the podcast, a lot of WWE news, SummerSlam fallout. And after this week, a lot of AEW news to cover as well, as you would imagine. So that'll be a packed episode coming up on Sunday. Be well, stay safe, have yourselves a good night. Take care, guys.